Ephesians 3, verses 17 through 19. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. With all the fullness of God. What an unbelievable statement. That we would be able to be filled with all the fullness of God. God wanted his people to be rooted in his love and built up through loving others and being loved by others. That's Paul's prayer for the church then, and it is still the Lord's will for the church now. When we are rooted and grounded in the love of God, we will be in a position to be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height of that love. As the love of God is worked out toward us and in us and through us, it makes the love of God more understandable to all who experience it. When Paul mentions the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, he's not talking about four different kinds of love. He's talking about the fullness or the vastness of God's love. R. Kent Hughes writes the following about these verses. A love which is wide enough to embrace the world. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have eternal life. That we would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width. The love that is wide enough to embrace the whole world. Not only wide enough to embrace the whole world, but a love that is long enough. That is long enough to last forever. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 4. This is the kind of love that's long enough to last forever. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, it endures all things, and love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they'll fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there's knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. The last verse of verse 13. And now abide faith, hope, and love. And these three, the greatest of them is love. Pursue love. Everything else will pass away, but love will not pass away. A love wide enough to embrace the world. A love long enough to last forever. A love which is high enough. Notice in the text. First we have the width and the length and the depth and the height. High enough that it would take sinners to heaven. Love that is high enough to take sinners to heaven. 1 John 3 verses 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. A love that is high enough to take us sinners to heaven. Those who were the enemies of God, without strength and powerless. Yet God's love is high enough through Christ to take us to heaven, to call us children of God. Call us children of God, and not only children of God, but that we shall be like Him. We shall be like Christ. The love that is wide enough to embrace the world. A love that is long enough to last forever. A love that is high enough to take sinners to heaven. And this is all possible because of a love that was deep enough to take Christ to the very depths to reach the lowest sinner. Philippians 2:8. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of Christ. The death of Christ. The love that was deep enough to take Christ to the very depths in order that He would save the vilest and the chiefest of sinners. That's the kind of love that Paul is saying in the text, that we would be able to comprehend, that we would be able to grasp, to take in, to see, to get to the bottom of, to embrace. That word in Latin, comprehend, means to grasp together, together to grasp, come together, prehendere, grasp. That we together would grasp, that the saints of God would grasp. We see this love laid out before us. A.W. Tozer said, because God is self-existent, His love had no beginning. Because it is eternal, His love can have no end. Because it is infinite, it has no limit. Because it is holy, it is the quintessence of all spotless purity. Because He is immense, His love, and His incomprehensible, vast, bottomless, shoreless sea. That we would begin to grasp, to take in, to see the love of Christ which passes knowledge. That we would know the love of Christ. Is this the concern of your life? Is this the goal of your life? Is this what you are pursuing? Is this what you're taking in day by day, moment by moment, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge? Christ's love is incomprehensible, but yet Paul prays for our comprehension, that we, with together with all the saints, begin to grasp, to take it in, to take in its dimensions, to take hold of the seas. Paul certainly knows it's impossible, but he calls us to this grand spiritual exercise for the health and well-being of our souls. We'll be comprehending this love for all eternity. Yet it is to be our life's occupation now and forever and ever. Amen. When we're controlled by the Spirit and filled with His love, we begin to be brought into a place where we comprehend, take hold of the vast and immeasurable love of God. The word comprehend, as I said, means to grasp, to lay hold, to embrace. This would be your life's goal, brothers and sisters. And as we're filled with His love, when we begin to grasp what His love means, when His love flows to us, others begin to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. The Lord uses us, uses the words that we speak to others, the lives that we live before others. Others begin to know His love. And as they begin to know His love and to show His love, miracle upon miracle upon miracle is accomplished. Paul's final petition for the Ephesian believers is that they might be filled with all the fullness of God. Still to this day, in my 60s, saved for over 30 years, I still cannot fully comprehend that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. That is a remarkable prayer request you got there, Paul. How can the finite hold the infinite? How can something so small contain someone who fills all things? God is all things. Imagine, if you will, that we're standing beside a great ocean. Before us stretches out an unending ocean of water. We're nothing but insignificant specks on the seashore compared to that vast ocean that is before us. Imagine we dip a gallon bucket into the ocean. That bucket would immediately be filled with all the fullness of that ocean. Our bucket could not contain all the fullness of the ocean, but it would still be filled with it. It couldn't hold all the fullness, but it would be filled with that ocean. Thus it is with Christ and His church. We dip the puny buckets of our lives into the vast ocean of His glory, and we're instantly filled with them. However, these finite vessels cannot contain all that He is. Yet we find that being open to His power, to His glory, to His fullness, it enables us to hold even more of Him. Paul is praying that the people of God might know all they can of the fullness of the Lord. He wants us to be vessels that are filled with the Lord's power, His presence, His love, His glory. And that is only possible as we yield our lives to Him and allow Him to flow through us to be filled with nothing but Him. For us to get out of the way, to be filled with Him, implies that we become empty of ourselves. And isn't really that the problem, brothers and sisters? The word filled means to be full, or to be filled to the fullest. It speaks of a total domination. The person filled with anger, he's dominated by hate. The person filled with wicked desires is dominated by lust. The person filled with happiness is dominated by joy. So to be filled with the fullness of God is to be dominated by Him. He is truly the King of kings and Lord of lords of your life. Dominated by Him. Instead of thinking of our lives as mere buckets that can contain only a small portion of His fullness, as I mentioned earlier as an illustration about buckets in the ocean, think of our lives as ships, which have been sunk in the ocean of His grace until we're filled completely with all that He is and all that He can give us. We're drifting along the ocean. We've been filled with His grace and His mercy. We're being dominated by the sea of God's glory. We're driven about by the waves of His will, carried by the whim of His desires. We are His, and there's no room for us. There's no room for us in us, or for us, or for anything else. We are dominated by God. That is the fullness of God. Filled with all the fullness of God. Total domination is what the Lord is after. That's what Lord of Lords means, and King of Kings. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that is the ultimate purpose in each and every one of our lives. It says that's why all things are working together for good. because we're being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And just as Christ was totally submissive to the Father, we're called to be totally submissive to Christ and to the Father. And ultimately, as I read in John, that will be the chief end. We shall be like him. And we're about that business now, becoming like him day by day, moment by moment, with to become more Christ-like as we yield to the Father. Day by day, totally dominated by the Lord. Realize this, if you are a child of God, brother and sister, he will not rest until he controls your life to the fullest. He begins the process here, and it ends when we get to glory. The longer that we strive to control our own lives, our own loves, the harder he will fight us. It's like you're standing in the way of a tornado. You're standing in the way of a hurricane. God's will is going to be done in your life. And you can come easy, or you can come the hard way. It's only when we yield to him fully that we can be filled with all that he is. And I realize that this is something that will not be fully realized until we're home in heaven. I just mentioned that. Until you become like him with a glorified body. But I know that many have gone throughout the history of the church a long way, realizing the goal of being filled with him. That is the key. By faith, you surrender more and more day by day. By faith, you become more like Christ day by day. And regardless of where you might be on your journey, it is always possible for you to open yourself to more of him. As I'm speaking, that is my desire, to be filled with more of the fullness of God, that I would be conformed more into the image of Christ day by day, that we would live in his power and his presence. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians is amazing. He asks for spiritual gifts that only can come from the Lord. And Paul steps away from the usual formula for prayer, which goes something like, bless me and mine and make me happy. Isn't that the way that we usually pray, brothers and sisters? Unfortunately. Whereas our prayer should be, Lord, do whatever it takes to make me holy. Lord, do whatever it takes to conform me into the image of Christ. Lord, grant me the faith to moment by moment submit to your will, day by day. Fill me with love and peace and joy and goodness and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and long-suffering, Lord. What do these passages say to us about our prayer lives? How is it that we pray? Is it bless me and mine and make me happy and clappy? Or is it, Lord, do whatever it takes to make me holy, Lord? Fill me with your love, or crush me with that same love. Ooh, don't say that, Bill. Crush me. Yes. Many times we have to be crushed in our lives. We take God's mercies for granted. We forget about them. We forget about the things of God, and we get wrapped up in his gifts and forget about the giver of those gifts. And sometimes the Lord has to take those gifts away to cause us to remember the love that he has shown us, the width, the length, the depth, the height of the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. I mean, these verses here can occupy your mind for eternity. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And you would think for a moment that some man wrote the Bible? That a man was not moved, or men were not moved by the Holy Spirit to write these words? Man could never, never, ever come up with a thought like that. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And Father, we would pray that that is true for each and every one of us that are children of God, that's listening to this message, that we would be filled with the fullness of God, that we would know, we would experience, that it would be a reality in our lives, that we would grasp, comprehend, take in, get to the bottom of, embrace this love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Father, I would pray that that would be true in our lives. And if there would be any that is listening today who doesn't call you Father, who's never come to know you as their Father, I would pray that today they would repent of their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they would become a child of God. And they would begin to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. And that they would be filled with all the fullness of God.